The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Immunity Armor Gold is the most advanced immunity-boosting formula you can get in one product. Go to ImmunityArmorGold.com and use the promo code TOD10 to get 10% off. That's ImmunityArmorGold.com, promo code TOD10.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Fresh off that sugar high from Halloween, Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes today, who's on assignment. Our phone number. 844-747-8868. You can always check us out on Facebook, and the live show blog is hot at toddstarnes.com. Thank you for joining us today, and over the next 3 hours, we will make sure that you are informed and you are entertained. We are going to get you in the know. We thank you for joining us today on the Todd Starnes radio program, and what better way to beat the Mondays than to start the show off with our friend Todd Starnes this afternoon. Todd, where are you and how are you, sir?
Tim, hello, and good afternoon to you. It's very bright and sunny here in Palm Beach, Florida.
Wait, Palm Beach? You just say Palm Beach. You know what's in Palm Beach? Mar-a-Lago.
Well, yes, and so we'll be at Mar-a-Lago here in about an hour or so for our interview with President Trump, and of course, we told folks about that on the show last week that I'd be coming down here and spending about a half an hour with the president one-on-one, and the bulk of that interview is going to be for a new book that I'm working on, but we're going to bring back some audio that we will play in tomorrow's program, so it's going to be pretty exciting, Tim, and this is the first major sit-down we've had, just mano a mano, and I think it's going to be a great conversation.
This is exciting because I know that you've been invited by the Trump camp previously to speak at some of his gigantic rallies and to be able to sit down over a 30-minute period of time. I have to ask you, because when it comes to journalism, I don't have those chops, that degree. You know, as a broadcaster, it's one thing, but as a journalist, how hard is it to narrow down the questions to ask President Trump in a 30-minute window?
Well, it should be, you know, I've kind of strategized that but this president is really good about letting you jump in. And, you know, if you're going down a path that you don't necessarily want to go down, he's good to get back on it. So I don't think there's going to be any, you know, this is not one of these attack interviews. I just genuinely want to hear his, you know, his take on where we are as a country and where we're going to go. And again, this book is coming out right before the midterm elections. And so that's going to be this is really more of a projection of, if we do not get out and vote in 2022, what is the future of the country?
Oh, that sounds like that's going to be a great book for 2022, because there are folks clamoring. We're seeing the poll numbers for Joe Biden continuing to tank. And of course, there's a lot of people are calling tomorrow's election in Virginia possibly a bellwether for the midterms, as Glenn Youngkin tries to overturn the apple cart and knock Terry McAuliffe off for the Virginia governor's race.
Well, it could be. And again, President Trump actually put out a statement earlier, and we have that up on our website, toddstarnes.com. You know, the president's very concerned about voter integrity, and that is a valid concern. We do know that Terry McAuliffe has already engaged some attorneys who have expertise in that field. So this could get very interesting. I will say this. One of the more interesting stories we've seen is that the Democrats are now openly playing the race card. That is a good sign for Republicans, because whenever they do play the race card, the Democrats, that means they're in hot water. Terry McAuliffe coming out today and announcing that one of the big problems in the state is they have far too many white teachers on the payroll. So And of course, and I'm sure you'll be talking about this, Tim, here's how bad it is. To illustrate how racist the white people in Virginia are, the leftist and the Lincoln Project actually had to go in to hire a black guy to pretend to be a racist holding a tiki torch.
I saw that over the weekend, and it didn't take long for folks to figure out and follow the trail, and it's good that they figured that out. And of course, you've got Terry McAuliffe, who has not had too many problems with hanging out with Governor Blackface Ralph Northam in the past. Of course, we still don't know, was he in the Klan costume or was he in the blackface? So it's interesting that this is their break glass in case of emergency, claim racism.
Exactly. And again, the president's poll numbers are just in the toilet. Well over 70% of the American population, including Democrats and Republicans, say the country is heading in the wrong direction. And that could be bad news for Joe Biden, or rather Terry McAuliffe, tomorrow on Election Day. But it is going to be, look, this is going to be a very tight race. You know, the polling has sort of been all over the place. And it's going to be a matter of who is motivated to get out and vote. That's the big question. So we'll be watching that, and I may ask the president a question or two about that as well for tomorrow's show.
Todd is down at Mar-a-Lago today. He'll be interviewing President Trump one-on-one, and I'll be curious to see if the Halloween decorations may still be up at Mar-a-Lago. Of course, we're entering the holiday season. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, well, yes, I will tell you this. It is not the Hampton Inn. I will tell you that much. It is really nice.
I
don't have the free breakfast, so I guess, you know.
But I hear
consider that.
But I hear the buffet is second to none. And of course, later on in the program too, Todd, we're going to be talking about this huge story. Of course, it's November the 1st, and I know for a lot of people that means really the kickoff of Thanksgiving, Christmas season. But in New York, really, it's the kickoff of chaos as de Blasio's vaccine mandates are now kicking in. And the first responders, well, they don't seem to be responding too well to being told what to do on the jab.
Well, not only that, Tim, this is happening all over America. And over the weekend, I was in touch with a number of nurses and other staffers at Le Bonheur Children's Hospital, one of the large children's hospitals in Memphis, Tennessee. And we are hearing reports of nurses, of other technicians walking off the job, refusing to get this mandatory vaccine. So this is, you know, this, yes, right now New York City is where the focus is on, but it's happening in other places like Memphis, Tennessee. All of our KWAM listeners, you guys know about that. And I suspect, you know, today you're going to be hearing calls from all over the country, Tim, of others that have decided not to get the vaccine, even if it means losing their job.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're finding an awakening across the country that people are finding where their personal line in the sand is. And again, this all points back to 2022, what will happen in the midterms. And today you're going to be talking with President Trump and getting the temperature in the room on what he thinks is going to happen and what must happen for a turnaround in 2022. And it's hard to believe, Todd, we're really only less than 10 months into the Biden administration, and we've still got 14 months of this before, even if Republicans win in 2022, before they would even get sworn in.
And that's a good point, Tim, and I'm going to have to skedaddle here, but to your point, there's something happening in the country right now, and I feel pretty good about it. I think people are fired up. They realize that elections do have consequences. And they understand that here we are not even a year into the Biden administration. The country is literally in flames and turmoil, and the people are ready for a change.
Yes, I think they are. Todd, thank you so much, and enjoy that interview. I know that's going to be a special time. And just so you know, by the way, Grace is back today, so I get to enjoy having Grace Baker back in studio today. So thank you for that, Todd.
Back from vacation. That's awesome.
I know, and she didn't even bring us a Doobie Brothers t-shirt. Can you believe it? He's a Lou. And there goes Todd Starnes. He is heading over to Mar-a-Lago to interview President Trump. And we touched on a couple of the big stories of the day. And coming up, we're going to be talking about what's going on in New York City. What a mess there, as we have chronicled, and Todd has chronicled over the last year plus, the crime that has come back into New York City after Rudy Giuliani helped clean up the city, well, it's back to the way that it was before, and now there's the potential that it could become even more dangerous as first responders are now walking out on the job due to the vaccine mandate. We've got that. We've also got a preview coming up in just a bit from Jeff Katz on that Virginia governor's race. We'll have that for you and so much more. We are just getting started here. And our phone number, 844-747-8868. Tim Van Horn in for Todd.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Thanks to you great Americans, MyPillow is an amazing company. And Mike Lindell has an amazing offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillows. You get a standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, only $19.98. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products like MyPillow towels, mattress toppers, My Slippers, so much more. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty so you know it's going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep we not only want but need. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 1-800-839-8506.
Welcome back. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes today. And if you missed last segment, he's down in Mar-a-Lago today. He's interviewing President Trump one-on-one. I mean, I think the keyboard has just stopped smoking from him writing our Daily Biscuit Devotions Withdrawal, and he's off writing yet another book, but that's how Todd rolls. He'll be back tomorrow, and he says he's going to have some audio, exclusive audio from his interview with President Donald Trump tomorrow for you right here on the Todd Starnes Show. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. You can go to toddstarnes.com, listen to some of his previous interviews, and get the latest with Todd's take on the top stories with the Toddcast podcast. It's all at toddstarnes.com. Make sure you check that out. Grace Baker has returned from vacation. When one leaves, another returns. Hello.
Yes. It's good to be back, Tim. I missed our listeners and missed the control room here in the Liberty University studios.
I lived vicariously through you last week. So jealous you went to go see the Doobie Brothers.
I did.
In New Orleans, of all places. How awesome.
I had never been to New Orleans before. I will say they had some of the best oysters I've ever had. And the concert was amazing.
You go to a coastal town, you're going to get some great seafood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I have some questions for you on that, and then I've got some other questions. I'm going to have to tap into your wisdom and the wisdom of our audience today. I have a little bit of a life issue that I need to work through. It's a small crisis. I'm going to tap into the smartest audience in radio just a little bit.
Well, so. you are about that age, midlife crisis, right?
Oh wow, we've been back for two minutes. You know, I was going to start Christmas shopping today. Okay, Grace Baker. Okay,
naughty list.
There are some serious issues though we need to get to, and a huge story now, and this is brewing out of the Big Apple, and you knew it was coming. It just didn't seem like November 1st was ever going to get here, but now Halloween has come and gone. We are here, and we are looking at a crisis in New York City, particularly in the first responders, firefighters, and the EMS. And to lay a little bit of the groundwork for you, just before today, the New York Fire Department employees were at about 60% of the vaccination rate that they wanted everybody vaccinated or you were gone. 61% of the EMS folks had gotten a shot. That's not everybody. Bill de Blasio is insistent that everybody get the jab that's going to be going out there. Those that have been risking life and limb all of this time now has to get the jab. Listen to this clip. This is from the Uniform Firefighters Union in New York. And it talks about the crisis that was already brewing, and now things are about to get even worse. Listen to Andrew Ansbrough talk about the crisis that is now to come thanks to Mayor Bill de Blasio.
But about 20% of the police department and nearly 30% of the fire department are not, setting up a potential showdown with the mayor over one of the toughest vaccine mandates in the nation.
For the mayor to turn around and say we can run this department with 25 to 35% less members is ignoring the fact that we can't even keep firehouses open today.
How scary is that? There are firehouses that are supposed to be open even last month in the city of New York that they could not maintain enough staffing. And now we're finding out today, it's estimated that about 20% of New York City's firefighters are sick today and are not going in to work. It's a little bit less than 20%. There's about 2,000, they estimate, that have not gone in out of the roughly 11,000 firefighters in the city. And you're seeing Mayor Bill de Blasio, if you're wanting to defund first responders, this is a great way to do it. You basically force them out. And what we're seeing now in New York is de Blasio drawing a line in the sand against the firefighters. He's screaming, hey, these are bogus sick outs. You guys have kept an oath. You've maintained an oath to protect those. And here you are out sick. Well, this reminds me a little bit of what happened just a few weeks ago with the Southwest pilots, where there was a vaccine mandate, and instead of having something in writing or something super organized, you know what they did? They just said, we just won't show up to work. And what, I mean, how are you going to prove that this was a coordinated effort to be sick? How do you do that, Grace? I don't know. I mean, unless you've got some email paper trail, what are you going to do about it?
I mean, look, Tim, look. Remember, you've got American Airlines, they're canceling hundreds of flights due to, quote, gusty winds. Clearly, there's just something in the air. It's just making all these people sick.
It is incredible to watch this, because part of the job of the mayor of New York City is to make sure that its constituency has adequate protection and adequate infrastructure, adequate services. And he has now put them in a position where he has added an additional condition of employment based upon medical status, and that status is having the vaccine. And you've got firefighters out there, you've got EMS people, people with medical training. These are smart people. These are not dum-dums. They do their own research. They're just as able to make their own decision as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, no, we're not going to do this. And you heard the union leader say, listen, you know, we can't staff as it is, and now the mayor has made it much worse. And I think what we're going to have is a stare-off and a stare-down. What are they going to be able to do? Are they going to be able to call them back in? Are they going to fire these people? I mean, it's not as if you can just replace a firefighter. In New York, it takes a special skill set because you have so many huge buildings. You have an urban environment, and it takes specialized training. I know even in our flagship city of Memphis, those guys go through rigorous training to be able to be in this size market, and we're not full of skyscrapers, but just imagine what it takes to be a New York's finest firefighter.
I mean, look, Tim, when I'm getting rescued from a burning building, I'm not asking about your vaccination status. I'm just like, please get me out of here safely. That's all I care about.
Well, the firefighters seem like they are drawing a line, and they're saying, nope, not today. The question is, will they sustain this? And are they emboldening other people to take a stand? I think around the country, we've seen other pockets. We've seen police officers in Seattle. In fact, you know, Governor Ron DeSantis has been trying to lure some of those officers down with some incentives to move to Florida.
Yes.
Will New York's finest move somewhere else? Because there are definitely job openings around the country. They'll be more than happy, I'm sure, to get out of the high taxation area if they don't have to get the jab.
And go to better weather anyway. I mean, Seattle versus Florida, come on.
Yeah, it may rain, but it'll only rain for about 30 minutes at 3 o'clock every day.
Exactly.
That's essentially what happens. Well, it sounds like at least 20% or around 20% of the firefighters in New York are not complying. Today's the day when those vaccine mandates kick in for New York City employees. Will you comply? if given a vaccine mandate. 844-747-8868. You can also check in on our live chat on Facebook today, and we'll be responding and answering to some of those coming up in just a bit. Also, we've got the governor's race in Virginia. It's hot and heavy. Those polls are all over the place. Does Glenn Youngkin, does he have an upset in the cards? We'll know tomorrow. We'll preview that. And oh, by the way, before we even get to break, Joe Biden would have already fallen asleep. Yep, he dozed off at a climate summit, emitting all that CO2 by snoring. He's the problem with climate change. It's Tim in for Todd. Rickrolled us. Tim Van Horn for Todd Starnes. Oh, happy Monday, everybody. It's great to be here with you. Todd is down at Mar-a-Lago. We're in the next half hour or so. He should be sitting down in a one-on-one interview with President Donald J. Trump in preparation for a 2022 book on the midterms. And Todd has promised us a little sample of that interview tomorrow on his show. So stay sharp. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Before we go any further, though, on this first day of November, I want to just take a moment and offer my personal thanks to everyone who has contributed to our October campaign to help Christian nonprofit legal defense organization Alliance Defending Freedom. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And with donations received through midnight Sunday, we sailed past our show's goal by nearly $9,000. And our Salem Radio Network colleagues and we raised a combined network-wide total of close to $250,000 to fund the vital work of ADF defending your freedoms of free speech, pro-life causes, and religious liberty. In honor of the U.S. Supreme Court today they're considering two lawsuits involving Texas's pro-life heartbeat bill. I'm leaving the ADF banner up on toddstarnes.com for anyone who still wants to add a donation. And the donation phone number is 855-716-7461, and it will remain active the rest of this week. Again, that's 855-716-7461. And thank you again for making our October campaign such a success for our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. And I can tell you, I speak for Todd and for everybody on the show. We want to say thank you so much for your generosity. Whenever we ask, you give almost to a fault. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. All right. Tomorrow is a big day in the state of Virginia. And Terry McAuliffe, he's a Clintonite. And he's been part of that Democrat machine over the last 20 years. Virginia has turned from red to purple to blue. And for many Republicans, fingers are crossed tomorrow that perhaps maybe they can get just a little bit more red back into that Virginia governor's mansion in the form of Glenn Youngkin. Over the weekend, polls showed anything from a slight lead to an 8 or 9 point lead for Glenn Youngkin. However, polls are only as good as they can be when people show up to the polls. So you would figure that Mr. McAuliffe would be maybe softening his stance, trying to get as big tent as he possibly could to woo last-minute voters into his camp. No, not Terry McAuliffe, though. He's decided he's going to double down on a couple of things. And here's Terry McAuliffe talking about all those parents that are challenging critical race theory across the country, and especially at Ground Zero in Loudoun County.
They're talking about this critical race theory. And as I said before, and I'll say it again, it's never been taught in Virginia. And I really hate it because it's a racist dog whistle. And all Glenn Youngkin has done in this campaign is run down Virginia, run down our education system, run down our economy. And when you think of this right now on critical race theory, Chuck, it's not taught. So all you're doing is pitting parents against parents, parents against teachers, and they're using children as political pawns. I was in Hampton last night. I met a school board member, said our school boards were fine. As soon as Glenn Youngkin got nominated, all of a sudden these people started showing up, creating such a ruckus.
You know, everything was fine until all these people started showing up and asking legit questions. What about this projection by Terry McAuliffe talking about how Republicans, and Todd and I had a conversation at the beginning of the show talking about how he likes to throw out racism. Well, he's trying to call Glenn Youngkin a racist, but he's also going back to that line, anytime a Republican does anything, guess who's negatively impacted? Minorities, women, and children. And of course, he goes to that old tired trope of, oh, you know, this is impacting the kids by doing this, and these people. Boy, there's nothing like bringing folks together by referring to others not like you as these people. I mean, if you
couldn't have said it better myself.
I mean, which chapter of the Carnegie How to Make Friends and Influence People was that out of? That must have been in the appendix at the back. Maybe I missed that one.
Somewhere in the footnotes.
Yeah, it must have been in the footnotes. But he's calling the people that stood up these people. But you know what? If you're not going to call me a deplorable, you can call me one of these people. I would be okay with
that.
Fine. That doesn't offend me one single bit. It is encouraging. It is inspiring to see these parents stand before the school board who tries to set all of these rules to limit their speech, for them to come up and stand up against the big, bad Loudoun County School Board. It has rattled the cage of Terry McAuliffe. Well, not only is he rattled about critical race theory, but now he's a little too upset because there's too much whiteness in the classroom. Did you see this story? This one came out over the last 12 hours. And McAuliffe is now calling for Virginia to, air fingers, quote, diversify its teacher base.
Mm-hmm.
He's upset that they have proportionately more white teachers. And if elected governor, he's promising a program at attracting more non-white teachers. So wait, okay, let's go down the list of things that are important for a teacher. Okay, background in education and experience. No.
How to read.
Ability to relate to children. No. An inherent love for children and a commitment to their physical and emotional growth. No. Color of the skin. Yep, that's it.
Ding, 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 ding,
that's
ding,
it.
Ding.
Let's roll with that. Everything else is just gravy. Let's get some non-white teachers in there. Boy, he has just taken hook, line, and sinker that Democrat Party line. Remember this, Grace, just a couple of years ago, the Democrats started deciding that a lot of the white folks, they don't really need in the party anymore. They are the party of everybody else. And if the suburban women tag along, then, you know, so be it. But they have now just determined that, hey, you know what? We don't need them. I'm going to cater to minority teachers. This statement in and of itself is the soft bigotry that Democrats love to toss at you. Anything a Republican does, it negatively impacts a minority. You know why? Because a minority can't rise above it. And you know what? We need more non-white teachers in the classroom. You know why? Because minorities can't rise above it. That's not my thoughts. That's what's coming out of the Democrat Party. They're the ones that always want to lower the standards for non-whites. Last time I checked, we all bleed the same blood. We all have the similar brain. We just all have different experiences. That doesn't make us smarter or dumber. That just simply makes us different on our life experiences. But Terry McAuliffe doesn't care about that. He wants how things look. He wants to be able to say, you know what? I've done a lot for the minorities. That's what he wants. Even if he doesn't follow up on this promise, it's part of their platform, is we've got to change things up. And there is this soft bigotry that blacks are a monolith, that they are a voting bloc, that they will all vote the same way. Last time I checked, every African-American person I know has their own opinion. They have their own thoughts. They have their own dreams. They have their own life. But that's not the way the Democrats treat folks. And it may come out in the wash tomorrow. And this has been about 20 years in the making. Like I said, Virginia used to be a staunch red area. But now you have the Beltway Dems that have been running it for the rest of the state. Has the rest of the state had enough? That question will be answered tomorrow. The polls show Youngkin ahead, but the polls also show Trump ahead, too. And what about voting integrity? I know there's going to be a very close eye on what happens in Virginia. And can Youngkin seal the deal over the next 24 hours? Polling has shown that education is the most important issue in Virginia right now. And so far, Republican Glenn Youngkin, again, he's not a staunch conservative. He's going to be more of a moderate, but he's definitely better than the alternative. And he has made education his priority, whereas Terry McAuliffe got schooled in the debate and said he doesn't think that parents should be making educational decisions. Youngkin has flipped the script and said the exact opposite. Says parents not only should, but they have a duty to be involved in their child's education. He doesn't want cradle-to-grave big government, at least when it comes to education. He thinks parents should be involved. And yeah, sure, Terry McAuliffe sends his kids to private schools. That doesn't discount his opinion on public schools. But it also shows that it's not good enough for him as an elected official. So let me get my kids out of the system and you deal with it. And there are some great public schools across this country. But apparently Terry McAuliffe doesn't practice what he preaches. Mr. Education, let me trust the government except for let me have say in my own kids in private school. And that's okay. Just be transparent about it. Don't fake it. If you're going to say, I want my kids in private school because I have a better choice compared to what's now, just be honest about it. That's fine. I would respect you far more than you trying to virtue signal and knowing that you shelter your kids in a private school. And there's nothing wrong with private schools, but at least be upfront, be transparent about it. But that's not the Terry McAuliffe way. Coming up, we got plenty more coming at you, and I'm hoping that Grace will be able to help me answer really an age-old question. It's November 1st, which means vaccine mandates in New York City, but it also means the holidays, multiple holidays, are rapidly approaching. And I have a question in my mind about how I should be celebrating, and is it too early? We'll come back at you. Tim in for Todd.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Back to the Todd Starnes Show. Tim Van Horn in for Todd. Todd is down at Mar-a-Lago today. He will be back tomorrow. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. Our live show blog is up at toddstarnes.com, and you can go to our live chat at Todd Starnes on Facebook as we are rolling on this Monday. And it is November the 1st. We're going to talk more coming up next hour with Jeff Katz. He's going to give us a preview on the Virginia governor's race. But we've also got Sean Farish. He'll join us, too, talking about, wow, Governor Cuomo could be arrested, according to reports, in the next week or so. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And also talking about those New York City vaccine mandates of Mayor Bill de Blasio, where up to 20% of the firefighters not showing up for work today. A lot to get to and so much more here on the Todd Starnes Show. Grace Baker is back with us today. It's November the 1st. There are vaccine mandates that are popping up all across the country on this date on the calendar. But you know what else is also popping up too? Christmas music. Have you noticed this? It is November the 1st and some parts of the country and on streaming, if you're looking for music, there's already Christmas music.
It's too dang early. Let the turkey have his day.
Is it just me? We're still getting 50% off of Halloween candy today at the drugstore and the grocery store. We don't even get that day until, or am I just being too harsh? Is it time for Christmas music? Honestly, if we're honest about this, there's really not much in the way of Thanksgiving music, unless you count Adam Sandler's Thanksgiving song, and we're not going to play that one. But there's not much Thanksgiving music, so is it too soon or is it okay to jump right into it?
Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
Kyle.
This is the one. No.
Kyle.
This song is in my dreams by how much it's played.
We now have an infestation of earworms with Mariah Carey's song.
Nothing against the song. It's just been, overplayed is not strong enough of a word for that song.
For her, it's the most wonderful time of year because it seems like any pop, you know, soft rock station's going to play that song and she's going to get royalties galore from playing that.
Oh, it's too early. Let the poor turkey have his day. Santa gets his whole month.
I mean, there's three songs to me that really stick out. It's that song, Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Okay.
And then Wham's Last Christmas. Those three are played ad nauseum.
That's true. I agree with that.
You know,
what about the Christmas Shoe song? You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Oh, I can't stand that song. I change it every time I hear it on the radio.
The Christmas Shoe.
It's depressing.
There was a time, and it's called stunting, where radio stations would, on Black Friday or after Thanksgiving dinner, they would start playing Christmas music for those of you waiting in line to get into the stores or waiting to, you know, get online. But now we're seeing it happen earlier and earlier and earlier. Is there some sort of research that's backing this up? I mean, are people wanting this sooner rather than later?
I mean, most people I talk to, Tim, want it sooner rather than later. But in my mind, I am all out love. I love Christmas. But I just wait till the day after Thanksgiving, and then I start the festivities. And I'm boom. I'm on it.
My local grocery store started sneaking in candy crates right after Labor Day. They just start kind of easing it in. And then the next thing you know, you show up on a Saturday, and like two aisles in the middle, it's nothing but Halloween candy.
They're conditioning you.
Well, what happens is over the years, we've seen a transition where Christmas still does well, but Halloween now on candy and on costumes now outpaces Christmas as the most spent holiday when it comes to money.
I like Halloween almost more now than I did as a kid. Maybe it's because I can decorate my own like front door and such. For me, I mean, Christmas is my favorite holiday, but I like having, you know, Halloween. I like to savor everything. So it's Halloween and then it's fall, Thanksgiving. You know, I keep out my pumpkins. I put up the cobwebs and then Christmas.
According to a recent study by a market research company, they found that 51% of consumers in America planned on doing their holiday shopping before Thanksgiving. So I think for the first time, we're looking at a majority of Americans who are now shopping before Thanksgiving. And I guess with that comes the impetus and I guess the motivation to go ahead and start the Christmas music.
Well, I will say on that note, Tim, you know, with the disruptions of the supply chain, everybody I've been talking to has been saying, I'm doing my Christmas shopping extra early because of that.
That's fine and dandy, but there is no supply chain issue when it comes to Christmas music starting today.
That is instant streaming all day, every day.
When is too soon to start Christmas music? When do you, Todd Starnes listening audience, when do you start listening to Christmas music? 844-747-8868. You can also join in on our live chat at Facebook. Would love to see what you have to say about this. Because some people maybe, hey, listen, I know people that have so much joy in their heart that there's Christmas every day of the year. They're fine with Christmas all the time. They would go to a Christmas city if there was a year-round Christmas city. They would have no problem with that. As for me, you know, I think a couple of weeks before Christmas, I might be cool with that for sure. We each have our own taste regarding that. And I'm more of a little bit goes along. For me, the Christmas music is like eggnog. A little bit goes a long way.
That's fair. And I will say, Tim, that we just had a caller, Keith from North Carolina, and he said, don't forget about John Lennon's This Is Christmas. In terms of the big songs at Christmas time.
Yes, because then you have Yoko Ono screeching in the background, war is over. You know that, right? Right.
Yes.
In parentheses, they have the subtitle, War is Over. War is Over for John Lennon. Well, the first hour is pretty much over. Coming up, hour number two of the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Katz joins us. We're going to talk about the Virginia governor's race. Is it a bellwether for the midterms? Plus, Sean Farish joins us from New York. What's happening with Cuomo? And what's happening with de Blasio? It's all coming up. It's Tim in for Todd.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, America. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Todd is at Mar-a-Lago as we speak, preparing to interview President Trump for an upcoming book. And he's going to have samples of that for us tomorrow. That's right. He gets to interview Trump, and we get all the spoils. So tell your family, tell your friends, heck, tell your enemies, too. Make sure you listen up tomorrow to hear a sample of what will be going on between President Trump and Todd Starnes. That's coming up tomorrow right here. This hour, we got plenty to get to for you. Later on, we've got Jeff Katz. We're going to be previewing the Virginia governor's election. That comes up tomorrow. And some of the media pundits, the political experts, are saying that this could be a bellwether for midterm 2022. Glenn Youngkin going up against Democrat Terry McAuliffe. And how that plays out, well, we'll find out tomorrow, but we're going to get a preview of how things have stood and some of the recent nonsense from McAuliffe with Jeff Katz coming up. Also, we've got our eyes on New York City. We've been following Southwest pilots. Were out sick a couple of weeks ago. American Airlines pilots over the weekend. Were you having trouble finding a flight because of the air fingers, quote, weather that all the other airlines were able to fly through? Well, now, today is November the 1st. The New York City vaccine mandates for its employees are now in effect, and we're getting word that there's about 20% of the firefighters and EMS folks that are out today. That's at least 2,000 that are out. We're going to keep a very close watch on that and bring you the very latest with Sean Farish. He's in Long Island, New York. We're going to talk to him about that. We're also going to talk to him about, could it be, could it possibly be that former Governor Cuomo could be put in handcuffs later this week? Oh, how sweet would that be after he has had that dream of putting Donald Trump in cuffs and escorted out of the White House, yet it turns out that it will be most likely he, former Governor Cuomo, that could be headed down for a booking. We'll talk to Sean about that coming up later on this hour. Our phone number, as always, 844-747-8868. Christmas music too soon? I'm hearing some of that just kind of lilting out into the air. Is it too soon for Christmas music for some of you, or is it A-OK? Also, check in on our live chat on Facebook. We're going to be checking in with those comments in just a little bit with Grace Baker here on the Todd Starnes Show. All right. So we've got to get to Joe Biden. He is overseas, and not only has he been spewing nonsense, he may be spewing COVID out as well, as reports came in over the weekend that at least double vaxxed and single, maybe double, triple masked little red lying hood Jen Psaki has contracted the Rona. And we do wish her a speedy recovery. She says her symptoms are mild. Yet Joe Biden has gone ahead. He went to the G20 summit. G is for goobers. They're over there trying to bilk the United States out of billions and billions of dollars, all in the name of climate change. And now he's over in Glasgow, Scotland, for another UN summit. He hasn't brought himself back home to quarantine in the basement. He's out there flaunting around, disrespecting our country while overseas. And he could very well be passing COVID to some of the world leaders. Very irresponsible of him. But to his credit, he has looked like he's taken some naps during some of the speeches. So maybe he hasn't been interacting as much as he possibly could. But Joe Biden, as I mentioned, he's been over at the G20 summit in the name of climate change. And folks, climate change is code for separating us from our money and maybe helping to lessen some of our sovereignty as we look at a president that would be more than happy to get us back into the Paris Climate Accords and to apologize to the world for everything that we've done, allegedly. Listen to President Biden here. It's a miracle he got through the weekend. He couldn't even remember the name of the country that's the biggest polluter. I'm talking about, of course, China. Cut five.
With regard to the disappointment relates to the fact that Russia and
you know the thing,
including not only Russia but China,
there
basically didn't show up.
That a boy. They must have held up a flashcard for him or had something written in Mandarin, because I know he and his son are more than happy to deal with the Chinese. So maybe that's what he did. Also, he went into taking questions after the session. And here we go again, folks. The fix is in, because unless you're on the list, why even raise your hand? Listen to this in cut 7.
And now I'm happy to take some questions, and I'm told I should start with AP Zeke Miller. Zeke, you have a question. Didn't recognize you with mask on. I apologize.
Who's in charge? I'm happy to take questions, and I'm told I'm to take a question from AP's Zeke Miller. I guess it's kind of like roll call. He just looks down the list with the flashcard. Zeke Miller, present. And then if he's present, then he gets to ask the question. But that's the surreal world. He's got his flashcards out. He's got his pictures. Reminds me of the old picture pages back from the old kids show days. And then, of course, Joe Biden goes on, and he's more than happy to tell you that we are the problem. And that's what the leftists love to do. We are the problem, and we as Americans need our comeuppance. However, he won't look in the mirror and blame himself for some of the ills that befall this country. Gas prices are massively high. You know it. I know it. You are living it right now. On day one, he killed the Keystone XL pipeline in this country, which had thousands and thousands of jobs, claiming that pipelines were racist. Last time I checked, minorities bought gasoline too. They needed it for their vehicles. If anything, it's unifying. We all need gasoline. But here's Joe Biden blaming everybody but himself for those high gas prices in cut 6.
When the cost of a gallon of gasoline gets to above $3.35 a gallon, it has profound impact on working class families just to get back and forth to work. So I don't see anything inconsistent with that. But I do think that the idea that Russia and Saudi Arabia and other major producers are not going to pump more oil so people can have gasoline to get to and from work, for example, is not right.
So let me get this straight. Let's cut our own supply where we can lower the price. We can drive the price down with one stroke of the pen and get that Keystone pipeline back up and running again. But instead, he's upset that we've said Mother May I to Russia and the Saudis and want them to produce more, but they won't do it. I wouldn't do it either. I would bilk the United States as much as I possibly could. And Joe Biden seems to be more than happy to cause pain to the middle class. And that's who's getting hurt the most, the middle class and the lower class in this country. It's regressive, because a lot of times folks in the lower class, middle class, guess what most folks have to do? They got to drive to work. Gas prices go up. You got a fixed income. Guess what eats into that? It gets eaten into? That budget gets eaten into, because now gas prices for some, see over the weekend, you get a 20, 25 cent burst up and you got to fill up once or twice a week for your commute. Money's disappearing like crazy, and Joe Biden wants to blame everybody else but himself, but one stroke of the pen opens up that Keystone pipeline and we're good to go. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile phone lines this morning. We're in the Liberty University studios, and we say hello to Pat on KYKN in Salem, Oregon. Hello, Pat. Thanks for joining me on the Todd Starnes Show.
Hey, Tim. You're doing a good job. Thanks.
Well, I appreciate it.
Calling from the wacky world of the blue state of Oregon, where common sense is a rare normalcy. Anyways, hey.
You are an island. Hey, Pat, you are an island of sensibility in an ocean of goofiness, and we salute you.
There. Thank you. And I'm going to stay standing strong for what is right and what I believe. So I don't care how wacky they are. Hey.
Now, do they still allow Christmas music in Oregon?
You know, some places they still try to fight things like that. We could go on for hours on the things that they try to get away with here. It's crazy. But my wife, by the way, she's from the Philippines,
yeah.
And down there, they start Christmas celebrating in what they call the Burr Month, September, October, November, and December. I mean, it's crazy. Beginning of September, they start putting up Christmas trees. I'm like, what? You haven't gotten through Halloween yet. And me, I know Christmas music, I tell my wife, nope, not until the day after Thanksgiving. I'm still old-fashioned that way.
All right. Sounds like there's a little clashing of the cultures, a little head knocking there, but it sounds like you got the right idea. Day after Christmas, roll all that Christmas music that you want. But you know what? You can't. Hey, listen, I love Christmas. I'd celebrate it every day if we could. It's just the music. It's like eggnog. A little bit's too much for me.
I'm with you on that. I totally agree. I love Christmas, but the music, you're right. I mean, after a while, it's like, oh, gosh, it doesn't even come off meaningful anymore.
Oh, I know.
After you hear it every single day, yeah.
Absolutely. Yep, yeah. Absolutely. Pat, we thank you so much for joining us on the Todd Starnes Show, and hello to everybody in Salem, Oregon, and all of our affiliates across this great nation. We appreciate you. Coming up, we've got Jeff Katz in about 18 minutes. We're going to preview the Virginia governor's race, McAuliffe and Youngkin. Could Youngkin turn over the apple cart and flip Virginia red? Perhaps. We'll get Jeff's take on that. And also Sean Farish up in New York. We're talking about the first responders walking off the job, or are they just sick on the first day of the mandatory vaccines up there? We'll talk about that. And Cuomo could be going to jail, possibly. We'll talk about that all coming up. 844-747-8868. It's Tim in for Todd.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. Too soon for Christmas music or right on schedule? Just after Halloween, they're cleaning off the shelves and stocking up for Christmas. Is it the right time for music, too? What do you think? I know for some people, right now or any time of the year is perfect, and for others, maybe a week or two. We're all a little different in that aspect. 844-747-8868. Before we move forward, I wanted to just give thanks. I know Thanksgiving's still 4 weeks away, but on this first day of November, I just want to take a moment to offer my personal thanks to everyone who contributed to our October campaign to help Christian nonprofit legal defense organization Alliance Defending Freedom. With donations received through midnight Sunday, we sailed past our show's goal by nearly $9,000, and our Salem Radio Network colleagues and we raised a combined network-wide total of close to $250,000 to fund the vital work of ADF defending your freedoms of free speech, pro-life causes, and religious liberty. And speaking of pro-life, in honor of today's U.S. Supreme Court today, considering two lawsuits involving Texas's pro-life heartbeat bill, I'm leaving the ADF banner up on toddstarnes.com for anyone who still wants to add a donation. And that donation phone number is 855-716-7461, and it will remain active for the rest of this week. Again, that's 855-716-7461. And thank you again from all of us here at the Todd Starnes Show for making our October campaign such a success for our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. And we're going to talk with Matt Sharp next hour about the big case and just some of the great work that they are doing there. You know who else is doing great work, Grace Baker? It's our folks on our live chat on Facebook.
Always.
Yeah, we've talked about the mandate, and coming up, we're going to discuss that at length with Sean Farish, who's in New York. The mandate went in for city employees today, and we're seeing up to around 20% of the firefighters walking. Well, okay. They're calling in sick today, much like Southwest Airlines and much like what
Those
we think happened with American
winds.
Airlines. over the weekend. And Bill de Blasio has drawn a line in the sand. And for some people, enough is enough. And for those that are facing a mandate, or if you were amongst those firefighters, would you comply? 844-747-8868. Virginia says no way to mandates. Fascists. Dustin says, standing your ground. Betty says, no. That's the most powerful word. I know exactly what she means.
N-O.
That's it. Yep. Don't need 10,000 words. That nope. will do it. Absolutely. Tara says, nope, absolutely not getting any shot. No mandates. USA. No shots, says Phyllis. And it goes on and on. We'll have some more of those. Thank you so much for checking in with us on our live chat on Facebook. And don't forget, you can check out ToddStarnes.com, his latest Toddcast podcast, and his unique take on all of the top stories. And last segment, we talked about Joe Biden being at the G20. And we found out over the weekend that his White House spokesperson, Jen Psaki, double-vaxxed, masked up, she got COVID. She's been running around hanging out with Joe Biden. Joe Biden did not dial it down and bring it back home. Instead, he went to Glasgow for the UN summit there. It's called the COP26. And he's over there apologizing for Air Fingers, quote, the sins of the nation. In fact, listen to this quote. I guess I shouldn't apologize, but I do apologize for the fact the United States in the last there it is. It's always Trump's fault. In the last administration, pulled out of the Paris Accords and put us sort of behind the eight ball a little bit. What a guy. What a nice guy Joe Biden is, throwing America under the bus. And if you'll remember, let's go back to why President Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Accords. Essentially, the United States was doing all the heavy lifting, throwing money at things where we were promising the rest of the world that we would do things. And anytime that you start letting other countries hold you accountable for really just about anything, and especially for Air Fingers, quote, climate change, when you're not even bringing the biggest polluter, China, to the table, well, you're essentially just shaving off a little piece of your sovereignty and throwing it over to the European Union. And that's what he's looking to do today. President Trump was America first, making America great again. Joe Biden is in a race between now and the midterms of 2022 to do as much damage, to hurt the reputation, to give away as much of our sovereignty as he possibly can. And in this case, it comes in the form of giving over money and apologizing for climate change. Of course, they're in little old Scotland. You have all of these nations that are flying in on these jets with their entourages and dozens of vehicles in their entourage. I would dare stack up however much CO2 emissions they have right now compared to what Scotland has for the entire year. That's God's country over there. They don't have a whole lot of travel over there. I'm not saying it's a third world country, but they don't have jets crisscrossing in and motorcades by the dozen. But they sure do today. And they're virtue signaling, taking those jets and spewing all those emissions out there. But that's what Biden's doing. Coming up next, we're going to take a long, hard look at that Virginia race, because that could be a preview of things to come in 2022. The polls show the Republican is up. How reliable is that? We'll talk to Jeff Katz. Coming up next, Sean Farish after that, talking about New York politics right here. It's Tim in for Todd. Welcome back. Tim Van Horn in for Todd. Todd is down at Mar-a-Lago today interviewing President Trump for a 2022 book. Don't worry, though. Todd says he's got a little sample of that interview coming up tomorrow on this very radio program. He will be back in studio at our flagship station at KWAM in Memphis. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. And you can get the latest stories with Todd's unique take at ToddStarnes.com. That's ToddStarnes.com. A brief update. We mentioned that around 2,000 firefighters are out today because of that November 1st vaccine mandate by New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. All all in all, the city estimates around 9,000 employees are on unpaid leave today. We'll have an update on that coming up in about 15 minutes with Sean Farish up in New York. We'll keep you in the know. That is a huge story developing and really a microcosm of what we're seeing all across the country. Tomorrow, though, tomorrow is a huge day. It's Tuesday. It's election day in the state of Virginia as the governor's race. Well, it's D-Day tomorrow as Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, is challenging Terry McAuliffe. Listen to this from Terry McAuliffe talking about parents who dare in his state challenge critical race theory.
They're talking about this critical race theory. And as I said before, and I'll say it again, it's never been taught in Virginia. And I really hate it because it's a racist dog whistle. And all Glenn Youngkin has done in this campaign is run down Virginia, run down our education system, run down our economy. And when you think of this right now on critical race theory, Chuck, it's not taught. So all you're doing is pitting parents against parents, parents against teachers, and they're using children as political pawns. I was in Hampton last night. I met a school board member, said our school boards were fine. As soon as Glenn Youngkin got nominated, all of a sudden these people started showing up, creating such a ruckus.
Incredible. Joining us on the program now is fellow guest host of the Todd Starnes program, Jeff Katz, joins us now. Jeff, thanks for joining us. You know, if you're looking to seal the deal, nothing like calling people who don't agree with you these people. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Tim, and that is typical Terry McAuliffe. Terry does not let the truth get in the way of his carefully crafted story, I'll tell you that.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And, of course, since he's doubled down saying that they need more non-white teachers in the classroom, it's a unique take for a guy, Jeff, and perhaps you can speak to this being a little bit closer to ground zero on this, that education has come out in as many of the polls as the number one issue in this governor's race.
Oh, it's a huge issue, Tim, and in many ways you have to thank Terry McAuliffe for kind of inadvertently telling people what he really thinks. Here's the fact. Critical race theory has a couple of different names, and it began to be forced upon Virginia school divisions by Terry McAuliffe's Department of Education a number of years ago. And what we are seeing right now are angry moms and dads. They don't want their daughters to go to school and get raped in a bathroom by a boy wearing pants or a skirt or a top hat. They want their kids to be safe when they go to school. And that fundamentally has become the issue. It's a motivating issue. Terry McAuliffe thinks he's running against Donald Trump, and he's the only one who thinks that. You should see the mailers and the television ads that down here are just outrageous. But again, it's desperation on the part of Virginia Democrats, and I don't do predictions, but boy, I think there might be some surprised people come tomorrow.
Did he just kick an opportunity door wide open for Youngkin during the debate when he said, I don't think parents should be in the decision making of their child's education?
I tell you what, Tim, when he said that, my head darn near spun around, and I could almost see Glenn Youngkin handing him $100 million. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. It was incredible. Now, here's the part that's so bizarre, Tim, is that he was given the chance within a day by a very, very friendly outlet to, you know, to clarify and to say, oh, gosh, that's not. He doubled down and then he doubled down again. And then it was like, well, we're off to the races, kids. And the Youngkin ads featuring that were on the air within a matter of hours.
Youngkin, over the last week, I guess maybe even 2 weeks, Jeff, those numbers have started to slide in his favor, or maybe simply it's the old axiom of where the polls always tighten a few days before the election. What's your gut feeling heading into the last 36 hours of this?
Well, I think that Glenn Youngkin was always in it, but not close enough to win. And Glenn Youngkin's main appeal for a lot of people was he's not Terry McAuliffe. Terry McAuliffe is just, you know, he's kind of a grifter in appearance. You know, he's got these things. He comes to town like the Music Man. I'm going to build this. I'm going to do that. None of it ever happens. I do believe that once Terry McAuliffe exposed just how he really felt about parents, it did mobilize a huge number of people. Now, there were already plenty of angry moms and dads in this state as a result of what's going on in Loudoun County, as a result of critical race theory and all the rest of it. But boy, McAuliffe just pushed a lot of people right over the edge.
Jeff Katz is joining us here on the Todd Starnes Show. And Jeff, I want to play this for you. This is Pharrell Williams at a McAuliffe rally. Cut four.
We have to keep that same energy. So I'm not here to tell you to vote for a person or vote for a party. I'm asking you to vote and be a part of the process of being a Virginian.
Hey, Jeff, with friends like that, who needs enemies?
I wonder if Terry McAuliffe got the airfare back after he flew him in for that appearance, man, because he didn't read the script and he sure missed the punchline that he was supposed to deliver. So, yeah, it's...
I totally forgive Pharrell Williams for unleashing that song Happy on the World just by that one statement. He is all forgiven.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it reminds me of the energy at a Biden campaign where it's like, well, I'm here. I'm not telling you what to do, but, you know, whatever.
I'll tell you, there are not a lot of sincere, enthusiastic, excited McAuliffe folks. There are a lot of people who are saying, well, I always vote Democrat, or in many cases, I usually vote Democrat, but I just can't be bothered coming out this time. The energy seems to be and has been for certainly the last 6 weeks or so with the Youngkin campaign that people have looked at him, and despite the best efforts of Terry McAuliffe, Glenn Youngkin is not an extremist. He's not some crazy guy who invaded the Capitol. I mean, I saw that commercial the other day and I went, really? It's just amazing the depths to which Terry McAuliffe and his team are going. You saw the phony tiki torch people in Charlottesville. It's gotten to a point where there are one or two laughs for sure, but there's also a sense from real people. And this is the thing I think that's important, Tim. These are folks who are looking at this and going, look, I don't necessarily worry about party label. Maybe I am a reliable Democrat, or I'm usually an independent. But again, I want my kids to be safe in school. And Terry McAuliffe told me to sit down and shut the heck up, so I know which way I'm going.
A lot of our audience, I think it would be fair to say, maybe does not have 100% confidence in election results to some degree. I'm not saying 100%, mm-hmm. but along that continuum, there may be some doubt. How is the Democrat machine in Virginia? Is that, you know, even with him 8-9 points up in the polls, the deal's not done yet, is it?
No, it's not. And you can see, as news stories have been planted recently about possible recounts and how long we might have to wait for results to be official. And there's a lot of folks questioning that. The other part of this, Democrats, since they've come up with this great, oh, we vote by mail, or we drop a ballot in the middle of the street at 3 a.m. Somebody will pick it up and take it somewhere, you know, whatever the process is, there are a lot of people that really do question that. So yeah, there are a lot of people here that are concerned. The last big election that we had involving a member of Congress, we had the Republican candidate far ahead until they discovered a flash drive with votes, I'm told, like at 3 a.m, and then all of a sudden the Democrat won. And even if that is thoroughly legitimate, and all of the election people are saying, yeah, you know, this is just the way it is, it's kind of a sloppy process, but we do it, there's just so many people, unfortunately, that don't have a huge amount of confidence in any electoral system. I think that's a real failure on the part of our leaders. But the other part of this, Tim, is that the McAuliffe campaign has already retained, for I think it was $53,000 or $54,000, a big-time Democrat lawyer whose specialty is contesting elections and forcing recounts.
Oh, boy. So yep. I don't expect, I guess, Wednesday morning to maybe know who the winner is for sure. Jeff Katz, check him out at Jeff Katz Show on Twitter. We've got that on the live show blog as well. And, of course, from time to time, you can hear him guest hosting right here on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff, hey, thank you for your insight. This maybe it's a bellwether for 2022. I guess we'll find out hopefully Wednesday or a couple of days thereafter. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. Have a wonderful day.
All right. There's Jeff Katz. And coming up, We're talking about what's going on in New York, where now they're saying around 2,000 firefighters, up to around 9,000 city workers, unpaid leave because of Bill de Blasio's vaccine mandate, and their former governor could be let out in cuffs in the near future. We'll talk to Sean Farish up in New York, find out what's happening in the Northeast. That's coming up. It's Tim in for Todd.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back, Tim, in for Todd. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. You can always go to toddstarnes.com and listen to the latest podcast of his latest, greatest interviews. Let's go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And in New York City in particular, there are 9,000 at least workers, city workers, that are on unpaid leave, including 2,000 firefighters, because of New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's vaccine mandate. To talk about what's going on in New York City and state, from the Long Island Loud Majority, we say good afternoon to Sean Farish. Sean, thanks for joining me on the Todd Starnes Show. How are you?
Tim, it is great to hear you again, to talk to you again. It's been a while since we met in Dallas, but it's great to be here. And yeah, I'd love to talk to you about what's going on here in New York.
Yeah, we got to meet at CPAC in Dallas, and you've been on my morning show on KWAM. Welcome back, and appreciate the hospitality. Bill de Blasio laying down the vaccine mandate, and now we're seeing by the thousands people on unpaid leave. All firehouses are open, but we hear that 18 units are out of service and many are understaffed. Bill de Blasio doesn't seem to care at this point.
Bill de Blasio doesn't care because Bill de Blasio is termed out. He can't run for re-election. That's why he thinks he has some shot at running for governor, believe it or not, of this state. He's thrown his hat in the ring there. He's got no shot there, too. He's got no shot. Even if he was running for re-election, I think he would probably get primaried out. That nobody in New York City likes this guy. Nobody. Okay? You're talking Black Lives Matter is even out there like, this guy's bad. Bill de Blasio is the only politician, I think, in the history of ever to unite BLM with the MAGA crowd, because he's so incompetent. He's so destructive. He's run the greatest city in the world into the ground. He polled at zero when he ran for president. He's polling at zero now that he's running for governor. This guy is an embarrassment to humanity, really. And the mandates are destroying the city. And what's worse is this guy Eric Adams, who's running on the Democratic ticket. He's basically all in on the mandates, too. It's like they don't learn. I don't get it. But it's horrible to watch our favorite city get destroyed like this from its own leaders, quote-unquote leaders. They're linos, leaders in name only.
Leaders in name only, lino. I like it. Andrew Ansbrough from the local firefighters union talked about the devastating effects of this, not just for the fire department, but for the EMS, as if they were already understaffed. And, of course, the violence in New York City, those numbers have been through the roof. They're back to pre-Giuliani numbers. And now things are only going to get worse. And now people are going to have to wait even longer to get some help there. How does he even feel like he's discharging his duties as the leader of the city and to protect its citizens?
I don't know. I mean, look, you're dealing with, first, you're defunding the police. You're taking the anti-crime task force off the streets, right? So you now have crime skyrocketing across the city, which, by the way, what we said would happen if you defunded the police. Now you throw a pandemic into the mix. You throw firing and laying off all of these emergency and first responders. Personnel, firefighters, ambulance drivers, you know, doctors and nurses, you fire them because they won't take a vaccine. So you've got an issue with the hospitals anyway in New York. You're going into flu season. You're going back into where COVID generally comes back around in New York in the colder months. You've got less doctors, less nurses, and less cops, less firefighters, and less first responders. There is no possible way that this can go smoothly. None. And yet these people, again, and it's always on one side of the aisle. And look, Republicans are not perfect either. I don't want you to think I'm worshiping a golden calf, anybody who's listening, because I'm not.
But when you look at the left side of the aisle, these Democrats, de Blasio, Cuomo, now he's gone, Hochul's in there. She's no better. She's actually worse. They make problems worse. They don't help. It's time to vote differently. Election Day is tomorrow. It's time to vote differently. I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope we see some sort of shift going into tomorrow, going into the 2022 governor's election, because more of the same is not acceptable. I've been saying that over and over. More of the same is not acceptable anymore.
Across a lot of the country, people say New York is a blue state. New York is a blue state. New York is a blue state. But today you see 9,000 on unpaid leave that said no to the vaccine. Are you, and you're out on Long Island. Are you starting to see an awakening?
I'm going to tell you what's going on Long Island real quick. It's very similar to what's happening in Loudoun County, Virginia. Okay. Now, Loudoun County obviously uncovered that horrendous sexual assault issue in the schools.
Yeah.
But they were also very involved in getting into what kind of curriculum is being taught in Loudoun County. All right. And over here on Long Island, we are encountering the exact same type of information. The curriculum in the schools, the masking and the possible now forcing of the vaccine is awakening parents to realize who to and who not to vote for. We are seeing an awakening among a demographic of voters that we have never seen before. Parents, suburban mothers, the voters that were tough for GOP candidates, especially Donald Trump, to reach, are now being reached. They're waking up. They're getting ready to take a stand. This year, locally, you're going to see those results. Next year, on a statewide scale, you are going to see the results of the destructive policies pushed by Democrats in New York. I don't want to hear that it's a blue state. It's a red state with one blue city, and we are going to change that. And we are going to show the rest of the country that if you're in a blue state, it's okay to play offense. That's our goal. That's what the loud majority is all about. That's what we are going to do. You heard it here first.
Sean Farish is joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. And I can't go without mentioning the fact that former Governor Andrew Cuomo could be getting charges filed against him and possibly being led away in handcuffs at some point this week. I say couldn't happen to a nicer guy. What say you?
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. You know, we visited Andrew Cuomo back in front of his home in December for his birthday. We brought him a cake. We showed up. We had a nice party. He didn't even come outside. So I don't know what kind of jerk doesn't go to his own birthday party. But, hey, maybe it was the fact that we had this huge banner that said Cuomo's got to go. But we brought him a cake. We sang happy birthday. He didn't come outside. What a shame. You know what? I don't feel bad for the guy. It couldn't happen to a nicer person. 15,000 nursing home deaths, and now all these issues with the women and the interns. You know what? Best of luck to Andrew Cuomo. Hopefully they slap the cuffs on him. It would make for a great picture.
Folks, go to our live show blog at toddstarnes.com. We've got the link to Sean's viral videos on his Twitter account, and you can find out more about the loud majority. Stay loud, my brother. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Tim. Stay loud.
All right. Top of the hour coming at you. Hour number three, Alliance Defending Freedom on the way, and so much more. It's Tim in for Todd.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, America. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. I am 97% deplorable. I'm still repenting for the sin of drinking unsweet tea and actually kind of liking it, but I am repenting for those sins, working my way back to 100%. Todd is down on assignment at Mar-a-Lago interviewing President Trump today, and he'll have highlights from that tomorrow on this very radio program. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk to the Alliance Defending Freedom. And as always, our phone number, 844-747-8868. We're going to be tackling a variety of topics. But first, right here in the Liberty University studios, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And we go to the great state of North Carolina. We say good afternoon to Congressman Dr. Greg Murphy, proudly serving the 3rd District. Dr. Murphy, thank you so much for joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tim. It bothers me a little bit, seeing as I'm from North Carolina, hearing about this unsweet tea. We have sweet tea here.
You know, it was an accident, and accidents happen, and I am still repenting for that. I've been drinking extra sweet tea, and I've been eating moon pies to try to make it. I was down to 94%, but I'm up to 97 now. So I am working my way back into the good graces, and I will continue to do so. I promise you that.
Well, indeed. You can't go to a Bojangles here. I always have them cut it in quarter. because it's so sweet, and then it still is a little sweet, but that's what we live and breathe on. That's why we have such a problem with hypertension and some other stuff down here in the South. So.
That, and you can never get enough dirty rice, that's for sure. Dr. Murphy, let's talk about the Biden administration plan to compensate illegal immigrants. If I'm doing my math right, compared to the median American household income, the Biden administration at $450,000 is wanting to essentially hand illegal immigrants a check for about 3.5 times at least the amount of what the average family makes.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Tim. And, you know, I try to be very objective through this stuff and not really necessarily look at things through a partisan lens. But what they're doing is they've picked out a very exclusive set of illegal immigrants, those that only came in during the Trump administration, and want to essentially pay them off. And I'm sure there's been some great trial lawyers that are swimming around like sharks that are wonderful and licking their chops about all this. But what this does, this is a slap in the face of the average American. It's a slap in the face of any family member who has lost a loved one in the service of this country in the military avenue, and also in the slap in the face for those who lost a life during 9/11, that we're going to be paying people who have performed knowingly an illegal activity. And, you know, when you just can't think things get any crazier with this administration, just wake up and read the paper the next day, because it has. And, you know, you wonder why the polls say that 71% of the country feels like the country is going in the wrong direction. And why is that? It's because the country is, because of activity just like this.
I recall last week Todd had brought up, and maybe you can speak to this as well, that the typical life insurance policy for a military member is only $400,000. And that's for the people who basically gave a blank check to the U.S. government payable up to their life to serve this country.
That's right. That's right. And this is why it's a slap in their face. It's someone who would be paid their $400,000 if they lose a loved one in the service of this country. But these people are being paid $450,000 per person. So families could make $1 million easily over this to come into this country knowingly, illegally. Now, imagine this. Imagine if you knew that you could get paid $500,000 to commit a crime in the country. What's that going to do? It's going to incentivize you to produce more crime or to commit more crimes. What this is going to do is going to embolden drug cartels for more illegal activity. I mean, it's just simply unconscionable that the Biden administration is even contemplating this nonsense. It's even contemplating this nonsense.
Would it be hyperbole to say that this may even help embolden and subsidize human trafficking?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. You know, Tim, our southern border, because of our wonderful border agents being splayed everywhere so sparsely across our southern border, is not in control of our border. Let us be very clear. Our southern border is controlled by drug cartels. That is who controls our southern border. And they're people. They traffic in human trafficking. They traffic in drugs. The cost of fentanyl has dropped 50% in the last year because the markets have been so flooded because so much has come across our southern border since the Trump administration was intact. So without a doubt, this is going to aid and abet human trafficking in this country, and people are going to be sold into essential slavery in service to try to cross our borders. It's unconscionable.
Congressman Dr. Greg Murphy joining us on the Todd Starnes Show this afternoon, but you haven't sat still. You got together with some other colleagues in the GOP, and you've sent some correspondence to the Health and Human Services Department, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and others. Can you tell us about what you have written and sent along to the tops of those departments?
Well, we sent a 2-page letter, and proud that we had 45 Republicans, and honestly, I'm sure we could have gotten many, many more jump on this bill had there been time, basically demanding an explanation for this nonsense. How they could commit, how could he could even think about doing something unconscionable to the American people that we're paying people to perform illegal activities and coming across our border. We're demanding a response. I'm holding my breath, waiting for this. Obviously, the Biden administration has been very quiet about it since we basically, you know, caught their hand in the cookie jar. But this is what's been going on. The Wall Street Journal reported on it first, and we're calling them out on it. This is unconscionable. This kind of activity is not American. It slaps the average American in the face, the hardworking American in the face.
It is like breaking into a jewelry store, then getting to keep the Rolex, the cufflinks, the pearls, and all the diamonds. It's all predicated on them breaking the law, and Americans are made to pay. And specifically, the Biden administration made it a point to circle it on 2018. So essentially letting all of this money flow to those illegal immigrants, and it's all Trump's fault.
That's right. That's right, Tim. And it is. It's literally they're just pinning it on him. You know, the old cages, people in cages that were brought in by the Obama administration. The fact that Biden's been doing the exact same thing, but it's been hidden by the press and by the Biden administration. It's the most hypocritical administration that this nation has ever seen. And here we are paying people. You know, Tim, I've done mission work. I'm a physician. I've done medical mission work across the globe for 35 years. And I've seen very desperate places in this world. And I understand. I understand why people want to come to the United States. But we simply cannot have every human on earth come to the United States. We have a legal pathway of immigration. It's not a perfect one, but it's a very good one. The fact that the Biden administration has taken the laws of this country and showed total disregard for those laws just to bring people and flood people in, close to 2 million by estimates by the end of the year, is unconscionable. And then further adding acid to the entire storm is the fact that we're now going to have paid people for this illegal activity.
And the scary thing is once you kick that door open, it's hard to close that door back. Congressman Dr. Greg Murphy, thank you so much for joining us on our live show blog. You can find his Twitter account where you can follow along. And thank you for shining a very bright light along with a few dozen other GOP congressmen and congresswomen on this subject as Americans getting fleeced while others get to break the law. Congressman, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the Todd Stern Show.
Tim, take care. Have a great afternoon.
Yes, sir. All right. And he's right. I need to get to North Carolina to a Bojangles and maybe get some of that sweet tea, but maybe ease it down with a little unsweet as well. Although that immigration, whew, I think that leaves a bad taste in all of our mouths. We're going to check in on live chat. Also, your phone calls, 844-747-8868. Alliance Defending Freedom coming up later this hour as well. It's Tim in for Todd.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back. A little salty, but good. I've been drinking liberal tears today after they were triggered by President Trump doing the tomahawk chop at the Atlanta Braves-Houston Astros World Series game. Tomorrow night will be Game 6. Can Atlanta bring it home? How funny would that be, folks, if the Atlanta Braves, who had the All-Star game yanked away from them and all in the name of wokeness, and by the way, they took that All-Star game to like one of the whitest cities in the country. If the World Series trophy came back to Atlanta and Major League Baseball had to honor Atlanta as the world champions, how funny would that be? Talk about a little bit of social justice for you. We'll keep an eye on that because we got a local boy around here too, Austin Riley, batting cleanup for the Atlanta Braves. He's actually from North Mississippi, so we'll be pulling for him here at the flagship station. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. We go to the phone lines and we talk to Dave on our flagship station, KWAM in Memphis. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling the Todd Stern Show.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely. So one of our big stories today has been the unpaid leave by up to 9,000 workers in New York City, thanks to the vaccine mandate of Bill de Blasio, including 2,000 firefighters. And that's really a microcosm of what's going on around the country.
Yeah, and I know you guys are local here to Memphis, and so just wanted to talk about that,
sure.
About what's just happened in my own community with Methodist Lebanon Healthcare and how they put about 750 employees across their system on administrative leave today. So this is not something that's, you know, just affecting these, you know, far-left cities. This is right here in our own backyard.
Well, Memphis is a bit of a left city, to be fair, but let's talk about Lebanon and these healthcare companies. You know, last year during the pandemic, we're all in this together, and the commercials with the soft piano music about how much they care and how not all heroes wear capes. But now, Dave, maybe you agree with me or disagree, but it sure seems like those heroes that don't wear capes, now they're scapegoats.
Well, it's hard to take that message when you're talking about we're doing this in the name of patient safety when, you know, we have the last 2 years we've been reusing PPE because there was a supply chain shortage. You know, there was already a staffing shortage that was in place during COVID, and this is just compounding on top of that. So, yeah, the associates that kind of gave everything that they have to make sure that your friends, your family, your mom, your dad, your kids were taken care of. It's sad to see that we, who have sacrificed so much are not being allowed to continue to do the things that we love. And kind of the most, disappointing, aspect of all of this was, the exemption process that we were told we were given for medical and religious exemptions, and a religious exemption was given at every hospital except for our children's hospital. They did not even honor associate religious exemptions.
So what I'm inferring is you worked in that medical system. How long did you work there?
I've been there almost 10 years.
Okay, so you're still there at this point?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And do you foresee staying there? Are they putting pressure on the employees to go? Are they going to kick people out when there's so much care that's needed?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a vaccinated employee.
Okay.
So my issue is not, you know, whether or not the vaccine is something that, you know, is evil or we should not be doing. You know, the issue there is that I see, you know, my brothers and sisters who just have a different opinion, who have been able to provide safe and effective world-class patient care with the safety parameters that we've had in place for the last 2 years. And then all of a sudden those things are all of a sudden not safe enough for employees. So
it's not a question of whether the vaccine works or not for you. It's respecting body sovereignty of your coworkers. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, sure. Or it's just the overall decision making of, you know, this is not what is best for our community. This is not what is best for our patients. You don't take resources that are limited and then dwindle them down over something like this. When you have, you know, 2 years worth of data that says healthcare workers can safely provide patient care to COVID positive patients and not contract the virus or spread that among the patients that they're treating. It's really kind of difficult to wrap your mind around the decision making there.
Yeah, well, Dave, thank you so much for all that you do, and I know that people appreciate the fact that you support those that have their own personal choice and don't want to be subjected to those policies. 844-747-8868. Matt in North Carolina, thanks for calling the Todd Starnes Show.
Yes, sir, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well. You want to talk about the threats to the U.S.?
Very good, sir. My friend Mark in Washington State told me, hey, Matt, you go on national radio, right? I said, yes, sir. And he said, I want you to inform all six shows that you talk to that leave Alec Baldwin alone is a tragedy. We know that. Biden's a senile old man. Let everybody know that China is the threat, like I told Grace.
Well, Matt, and I have to tell you, when President Biden was over at the G20 summit, he didn't mention China. He was apologizing for the U.S. regarding climate change. But how do you have a climate summit when you have the world's biggest polluter that doesn't even come to the table? And I would have to agree, China is a threat in so many ways. Not just that, but on intellectual property and also in spying. Hello, Eric Swalwell and Fang Fang. There's so many threats that come from there. Thank you so much for calling, Matt. We appreciate you checking in with us. 844-747-8868. Shirley says on our live chat, Biden is only doing what he's told behind the scenes. He doesn't need to mandate the shots. Brian says, never comply, nullify. And Jory says, it's the ACLU suing on the behalf of the illegal immigrants that aren't even constitutionally, legally allowed to sue in America. The illegal immigrants. She's talking about what we were talking about with Dr. Greg Murphy, the congressman out of North Carolina. He sent a letter along with dozens of other GOP congressmen urging the Biden administration to not give $450,000 to the individuals who were separated at the border in 2018. And that number is about 3.5 times that what the median income is for the American family, and $50,000 more than a life insurance policy of our military, of the ones that give everything for our country. Laura says, no jab, freedom. Carolyn says, I totally agree about China. We've been talking about a wide array of topics this morning, and you guys have been on top of it on our live chat on Facebook, and you can always give us a call at 844-747-8868. Coming up next, it's the Alliance Defending Freedom. It's Senior Counsel and State Government Relations Director Matt Sharp. He'll join us. We'll also talk about the big fundraiser. It's going on for just a little bit longer. We'll tell you how you can participate and contribute to helping preserve freedom. That's coming up next. It's Tim in for Todd. In for Todd Starnes. Oh, and the stories Todd will have for you tomorrow. He is at Mar-a-Lago right now. Not on vacation, but he's interviewing President Trump in preparation for a book coming in 2022. How about that? And guess what? I don't know if he's going to bring us all back a towel or something from the gift shop, but I do know he's going to bring us back a sample of that interview to listen to tomorrow. Right here on the Todd Starnes Show. Thanks to everybody that has been chiming in. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. We're in the Liberty University studios this afternoon. And joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, we say good afternoon to the Senior Counsel and State Government Relations Director for the Alliance Defending Freedom. Matt Sharp joins us. Matt, thanks for joining me on the Todd Starnes Show. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on this afternoon, and it was an exciting month of October, and I want to talk about this fundraiser that was going on, and we'll continue for a bit longer in just a few minutes. But first, big doings with the Supreme Court today and for the pro-life movement. What's going on?
Yeah, so the Supreme Court heard arguments on the Texas law that was passed earlier that would prohibit abortions after a heartbeat is detected. And I think it's setting up another case coming up here in just a month by the Supreme Court on Mississippi's law banning abortions after 15 weeks. So I think a lot going on at the Supreme Court on that issue right now.
We've been keeping an eye, especially on Texas has been a big deal. We know there's been massive pushback, but also the one in Mississippi as well. And I think it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Typically, and walk us through this, when they hear arguments, when are the opinions typically written, and then when are they released? When would we know something?
Yeah. So the Texas bill was actually a narrower question. It wasn't really getting to the abortion thing, but more of the unique aspects of Texas's law that really allowed any citizen to sue an abortion clinic doing abortions in violation of the law. And so with sort of quick cases like this, we call it the rocket docket, where the court was hearing this quickly, it very well could be that they issue a ruling within a matter of weeks or months. But typically with big cases like this, we may not get a decision until the end of the term, which would be sometime in June. And I think that's what a lot of people are expecting, especially on the Mississippi law, which is actually directly asking that question of is Roe versus Wade still good law? And to what extent can states protect the life of unborn children, can protect women's health? And I think that's the big one that a lot of people are looking for a decision sometime in June.
Hey, Matt, help me out. Excuse me, Matt. Help me out on this. Last year during the election, there was a slew of lawsuits, and a lot of them were thrown out for lack of standing. Help me out on this. Will those that want to stop this Texas bill claim that the average citizen doesn't have standing?
Yeah, I think that's part of the argument. And, you know, so a lot of people have concerns that if Texas can set up a law like this and allow anyone to sue for violating this, can this be turned against other constitutional rights, gun rights or First Amendment rights? So I think there's a lot of really interesting questions there, but it really goes down to that standing thing that for the average person, it's before you go to court, you usually have to have an injury, right? I can't just sue anybody for any reason, but I have to have been personally injured. And I think that's one of the questions the justices are looking at with all of this is these ideas of when do we allow people to bring these types of lawsuits? Do we say that's something anybody can do or that only the government can do?
I would be very curious, and I don't want to go down a rabbit hole. I'd be curious to see if they even try to attempt to say that only family members of those involved would have standing. But again, I think this is a case of just sit back, wait, and see what happens. But nonetheless, I know that Alliance Defending Freedom, you guys have a lot of work, not just in pro-life, but in free speech and also religious liberty. Tell folks about what ADF does. Who are you?
So we are a nonprofit firm that does focus on defending all of our constitutional freedoms, free speech, the freedom to live out your faith. And we've done it in a variety of areas. In fact, one of the big ones we're gearing up for is over religious liberty and freedom when it comes to these vaccine mandates, and particularly the Biden administration's threats to require every employer to require this of their employees if they have over 100 people on their staff. We think that's something that's beyond the government's authority. We think that's something the federal government has no power to do. So ADF is gearing up to file lawsuits and to defend these businesses, these nonprofits, these charities that are going to be harmed by this government mandate. And that's just an example of the type of cases that we do, and we do them free of charge. We do these without cost to the people standing up for our freedoms, and that's why these donations, large and small, enable us to take another case and to defend constitutional freedoms for every American.
And speaking of that, and I spoke with our audience a couple of times during this broadcast, but again, I just want to send out a huge thanks to our audience, because we love partnering with you, and the Salem radio stations have been in the midst of an October fundraiser, and here at the Todd Starn Show, we exceeded our goal past $9,000 beyond our stated goal of what we wanted to do for Alliance Defending Freedom, and I think more than ever, particularly for today, with those two cases coming up in the Supreme Court, I think it's more important than ever to continue to raise awareness. And I know October's over with, but what we've done here at the Todd Starn Show is we've extended that fundraiser for another week. We've still got the banner up at toddstarns.com, and the donation phone number is going to remain the same, 855-716-7461. It's going to remain active for the rest of the week. That's 855-716-7461. And I know that with all of the Salem Radio Network, a combined total of close to $250,000, but now more than ever, with freedom seemingly getting encroached upon on a daily basis, now more than ever, folks need to take a stand, and you guys are doing that at the forefront.
That's right. You know, we're getting hundreds of requests every week for help on these issues of religious liberty and on issues of free speech. And so every donation enables us to take another case to make sure that people aren't being censored by the government or aren't having their religious liberty trampled on.
Yeah, and it is amazing that we live in a time now where it does, for some, it feels like the walls closing in, and not just in the secular world, but for Christians as well. And you mentioned religious exemptions. You know, who gets to decide those exemptions? It almost feels like a mother may I, are your convictions, you know, worthy of this? And it sounds like these things are going to have to be settled in court, and those things are not inexpensive to do because of all the paperwork, the research that goes with that. But from beginning to end, Alliance Defending Freedom does this, has been doing it, and is proud to do this, representing and proudly as a Christian nonprofit.
That's exactly right. You know, we stand with people like Baron L. Stutzman, the Washington State florist that served everyone but just didn't want to be forced to do a custom floral arrangement for a same-sex wedding. And she's been in that lawsuit for years now. And you can imagine that, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars it would normally cost to do something like that, where she's going up against the entire state of Washington and their vast resources and those of the ACLU. And that's why ADF is here, because we want to stand with people of faith that are standing up for these freedoms who otherwise could not afford to do so, to stand against these governments, to stand against the ACLU. But that's what we're doing, and that's why we're proud to stand with them.
Folks, one more time, go to toddstarns.com. The banner is there. You can support Alliance Defending Freedom. We're going to continue the fundraiser for another week here, or you can just pick up the phone, 855-716-7461. We'll have that on the live show blog. Matt Sharp, thank you for joining us. Thank you for all the work that you do with the Alliance Defending Freedom. We appreciate your time on the Todd Starnes Show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there's Matt Sharp. Again, that number, 855-716-7461. And we are proud to partner and help them help other Americans who may have no other recourse than to go to court to simply defend their God-given rights. Coming up, we got plenty more of the Todd Starnes Show. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. It's Tim in for Todd.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. Todd will be back tomorrow. He'll be flying back from Mar-a-Lago. If he's flying American, I hope he can catch a flight. You know, over the weekend, they had a lot of folks with dealing with bad weather, and it just happened to only impact the American Airlines flights like it did Southwest a few weeks ago. Our big story in New York City right now, about 9,000 workers on unpaid leave, including about 2,000 firefighters, thanks to Mayor Bill de Blasio's vaccine mandate. We'll keep a very close watch on that. Will that extend into tomorrow? I know what will happen tomorrow for sure. It's Election Day in Virginia. Will Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, unseat? Will he knock off Terry McAuliffe to take the governorship and maybe push Virginia back from blue to more of a shade of red? That remains to be seen, but that's coming up tomorrow, and that's a huge story. And in fact, President Trump's expected to have a tele-rally tonight in support of Glenn Youngkin and to get out the vote for tomorrow's gubernatorial election in the state of Virginia. Grace, I could use your help. I need some assistance here.
With what specifically?
My wife's birthday is coming up Thursday.
Oh, gosh.
And I've purchased some gifts, and she's really cool about texting me exactly what she wants.
Well, that makes your job easy.
Specifically what she wants. It makes my job so easy. I just got to go on, go shopping, find it, wrap it as best as I possibly can. I'm good to go.
There you go.
However, There's a big butt here. Over the weekend, she texts me something like, okay, it says home, okay, you know, big hardware store here. Let me click on that. And for her birthday, and it's a round number birthday, it's not a huge birthday, but it's a round number, She sent me a request for a mulcher.
A what? Like, you use in the yard?
Composter. She wants a composter. She texted me, and it's a picture of one of those tubular composters where you put all the leaves and stuff in there to make compost.
Why does that have to be a birthday present? Why can't y'all just get one?
I don't know, but let me give you a little bit of background. Because I said, honey, what's the deal? Well, come to find out, she's been watching a lot of this show called Homestead Rescue.
Oh, is it on HGTV?
And it's on Discovery. This rainy family comes down from Alaska, and for people that are looking to homestead to get off the grid, they help them. And she's starting to get in this, I want to get off the grid a little bit kick.
Oh, there it is.
And
yep. My mom's gone through the same thing.
She wants a composter for her birthday. As a married female, I mean, is that something? Should I take her at that and get her that? Because I feel like what's going to happen is when the in-laws ask, hey, what Tim get you for your birthday? A composter. And then I got to deal with that.
Okay, so she sent you multiple things, right?
Yes.
So did you get the other things already?
Yeah, that's taken care of.
Okay, so this is like the only thing left.
Yeah, but when she mentions composter, it's still going to come out. You know, it could be like diamond necklace, spa gift certificate,
oh, no.
Composter. And you know what the in-laws are going to remember?
Composter.
They're going to remember composter.
I wonder if you should just, you know what, just like skip the composter and like just randomly one day get it and bring it home and be like, composter, surprise. But it's not for her birthday.
I want to get it for her. I just don't want to attach it to birthday.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I feel like attaching it to birthday is a little weird. You could just get it for her randomly. Maybe you can both use it.
I mean,
it's for both of you.
She has gardening tools. We're going to get the local gardening show, one of the co-hosts, to come out to the yard and help us figure out where to put a garden to start one for 2022. That's a resolution for next year.
So
I understand the enthusiasm. Now, I don't know if she wants to get like a rain barrel to repurpose rainwater and stuff like that. I don't know how far she wants to take this. I am not going to build a log cabin in the backyard.
I'm a little concerned.
I'm not going to do that. You know, we don't have a problem with bears or anything like that, so I don't have to do anything fancy. But she wants to have a garden. I respect that. But is now the time or the occasion? I would have to agree with you because I can't pull the trigger and attach this to her birthday knowing the consequences that I'll get. Because she could say it even in the sweetest way. Oh, he got me a composter. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get some smart alecky remark from my father-in-law.
So it's more you don't want to be teased by other people. You know she'll be fine, but it's the other people.
Yeah, I feel like I should just lay down on a couch and just bare my soul to you on this. Because you pretty much picked me clean on that. You pretty much have me pegged right.
I understand where you're coming from. I think you get it for her, and you do not get it for her birthday.
Maybe get it next week?
Yes.
And then find something instead of. Maybe.
Yes.
I mean,
that's the thing. That's my only caveat, though. You've gotten everything else, and if you were still wanting to get her something else and you don't have any other ideas, maybe you just get it. Is this from, like, Amazon or Lowe's or something like that?
It's from one of the local big hardware stores. It's like $40. It's not an expensive purchase.
Because I was just going to say, since she's on this kick, you could get her a gift card to that place that's even more than, you know, the composter's worth, and then she can go and get whatever she wants for her projects.
She can get it, but it's her idea and her effort to get it.
Exactly. And then if she doesn't want to get that, she gets there and finds something else, boom. But either way, you don't have to deal with the, well, Tim got you a composter. It's like, no, she's on this kick. I got her a gift card to one of her favorite places. She chose that.
I think maybe that's the way to go.
There you go.
I think that's going to keep me out of trouble with the in-laws. I don't mind getting it. I have no problem with that.
That's an easy gift.
And I appreciate the fact that she wants to do that.
Yes.
I respect that. I don't mind doing the labor in the backyard. I just don't want the nonsense that comes with it as a consequence.
That is completely understandable.
Okay. All right. So we also need to talk.
We solved it.
We also need to talk about something very important. And that was your trip last week. How was the Doobie Brothers?
It was awesome. That was my first time to New Orleans, and I got to see them at Smoothie King Arena. Very nice. Very good show. I was definitely one of the youngest people in the audience. I had somebody say to me, "Oh, it's so cool that you like the Doobie Brothers."
Where are your parents?
No, just like, that's what I was, I got away before you could say that. But no, it was a great time. It was a good show. And then we went to Arizona for the rest of the week. I know that's random, but I had never been that far west before. Beautiful state. Went horseback riding for the first time. Awesome.
How was the humidity?
Amazing. Yeah. There was none. My hair and makeup stayed in place. I loved it.
Oh, so you put makeup on for horseback riding, huh?
Of course, for pictures.
Okay, fair enough.
I'd also had on the makeup all day. We did it like at night, in the evening.
Okay,
You know, the people in Arizona were very nice. I did have my accent commented on several times, asking me where I was from. Just me, not my husband. My husband does not have the accent, but I do.
Did you say Mexico? Give me my $450,000.
No.
All right.
I was truthful.
All right. Last question before we get out of here. Favorite Doobie Brothers song performed live. Which one was it?
What a Fool Believes. Boom.
That is, that's a good one. Did they sing it in the way that you are used to hearing it, or did they have a unique take?
They sang it a little differently. Like, you know, they kind of drew out some of the notes more than they do in the actual recording, but it was really, really good.
Todd is back tomorrow. He's got an interview with Trump, some highlights tomorrow. Thanks for joining me, TimVanHorn.com, and also always go to ToddStarnes.com. See you tomorrow.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.